storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hello and welcome to 4000 and Counting. I'm Wally. That is Kyle Horn from the Fife, well, actually the Kirkcaldy Kestrels. I don't want to say, he almost said Fife Flyers. I almost threw it all the way back. This is part four of the SNL series. Already had Adam Walker, Young Gary and Big Fraze on. Now it is the turn of Mr. Horn, a returning guest to the podcast. Horny, congratulations on making the Final Four weekend, mate.
Thanks, pal. It was quite a game last weekend, actually, so we didn't know what to expect. But we came through. It was good to see the boys are all pumped for it anyway. So, it was a good one.
You've obviously been around a while, as have I. And I cannot remember a team bringing back seven goals in a tie to win. I've been trying to rack my brain. Maybe in the Heineken League when fucking teams are winning 19-13 on a regular basis. But like since the scores have been like a lot lower, a lot more competitive and stuff like that, I can't remember anyone ever bringing a seven goal deficit back.
No. But I think the biggest difference for the two weekends was us going into Kilmarnock. And I don't know if you've been there, but Kilmarnock is tiny. So it's the puddle.
I've been to the Galleon, mate. I'm an Esher boy, ain't I? So that was, when I was up the road, that was one of my skating jaunts. That and the Magnum, which is no longer there.
Well, you know what it's like then. It's like end ice for us. So I think it's the bit of chalk and cheese, if you know what I mean. The big ice that helped us the second weekend. So, the way it went, that was it.
When did you, like, obviously, when you're in these sort of games, you always think, fuck it, we're going to give it a go. But when did you really start believing, like, yeah, boys, we're actually, this is happening here, like, we're on it?
I think after the end of the second, I think we were maybe three goals ahead at the end of the second, and there was, I think we just sort of said to ourselves in the dressing room, like, a couple of more goals, nothing against, it's squeaky bum time for them, and That's exactly what happened. It was, the more sort of goals that we got, the more and more drawn they came in. They were more and more they were trying to defend everything, so it was easier for us to put the pressure on.
It's mental. I honestly, when I saw it, I didn't know if it was a typo at first, and then I read the write up. I read the write up on the SNL website. Brilliant website. It's absolutely wicked this year. It's a decent website, mate. Honestly, compared to like last year's like English ice hockey one, I know they've tried to invest a little bit of money and change it up a little bit, but it's just so easy to use, user friendly, especially when you're doing a podcast like this.
Yeah,
just to grab a guy's stats. What I didn't like though, if you look at the stats, it has the player's age first.
All right.
If you notice that, because I said to young Gary, I was like, "Fuck me, have you got 24 goals in 18 games?" And then I look and he goes, "No, he's 18 years old. He's played 24 games and scored." I was like, they've added an extra number at the start of the stats.
I'd probably be in the top five there then.
Well, I thought you must be up there for one of the elder statesmen in the league. And then looking through elite prospects, you have young Mr. Andy Finley on his, I believe it's his fourth or maybe even fifth comeback, but he's still putting points up. What's it like playing with a big man?
That's good. Like, he's obviously we played together all the way through our days as well, eh? So it's good still seeing any boys at that age still want to play and still got the want for it, if you know what I mean. So, and he's still enjoying it, so I can't see him stopping anytime soon. So good for him. As long as you're enjoying it, Wally, that's the main thing, I think.
Absolutely. We had Drew Campbell just announce his retirement after the NIHL 2 Solent game. He was 47. Steve Moria, God, I played with MoCap, but MoCap must have been nearly 50.
He's only 21.
Honestly, I can remember my first year playing with him in Basingstoke, and he was, I don't know, let's say for argument's sake, he was 40 in the program, and I remember playing with him like 4 years later, and he was 35. I was like, how the fuck does this work? He's like Benjamin Button in it. He's taking years off.
I think I was 5 years old when he came to Fife, and then I ended up playing with him in Slough, and I can't remember what age, but I must have been about 25, 26 maybe when I was in Slough. Maybe older, I don't remember.
How old are you now, Holy?
Me, I am 43.
So you're 7 years older than me. Yeah, you would have been 28, 29, 30 in Slough, I think, because I would have been 19, 20. No, yeah, maybe you'd have been 27. I think I'd have been 20 the year you boys come down.
Could have been.
What time that was. And there might be a few of the old boys getting back together this weekend. I know, obviously, Chad's coming up. Chad Riki. Yeah. I've sent the bat signal out to Brucey. See if he'll come through, since he's in Edinburgh. Obviously you're going to be there yourself. It's going to be good to catch up with some of my old teammates. And for me personally, don't get me wrong, I saw the SNL when I was a kid growing up, maybe, you know, when I was up visiting at Christmas or that, but that was 25 years ago. I haven't really seen it this year. I thought after doing this podcast, the fact that we're going to do the road trips, I thought the SNL had to be on there. Went up and checked out Aberdeen Lynx against the Comets. Very impressed, which has led me to want to come to this weekend. How do you think the hockey's improved in the last, you know, few years in the SNL?
A lot has. I was quite taken aback about how much has improved as well. It's teetering on trying to become semi-professional to. If you know what I mean, if there was a backing of money and stuff like that, obviously, I think it would be. But yeah, it's kind of teetering on that level. Still quite a distance away from the elite league, I would say. If you know what
obviously,
I mean.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, it's the standards came up loads, which is great to see, and long may it continue. I just hope the actual teams like ourselves, Kestrel, because we've got the Flyers above us, it's hard to get sponsors and stuff like that. And
right.
We'll bring in that stuff like that. But
Kirkcaldy's not like a massive town either, is it? So the Flyers are going to nab them sponsorships up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, and it's quite hard to, obviously fight against that. They're a good team. They're playing in the Elite League as well. So it's, as a business, I don't know if you really want to do the Kestrels sometimes. So that way, But no, apart from that, I mean, we've got kids for the Kestrels that are training up with the Flyers, good for them and all the rest of it. But, I don't think they've had that much ice time, but they're there nonetheless, so that's good. But we're still bringing for the juniors, which is good here. That's about it for that.
Speaking about the junior boys, obviously, just before we came on air there, we were touching on the fact that your 19 lads are out there skating. We got onto the subject of GB18s, and two of your boys, they're off representing GB18s. Obviously, that's going to be a big miss for you. But do you want to talk a little bit about the talent that you've got in those two lads?
Well, that's the talent. You can see it. It really is like that. They're two different kind of players, both defensemen, but both a little bit different in the way they see the game. Brody's got a lot of skill. You can see it when he stick hand into his skating. And then Josh,
like a young Kyle Horn at the back there, is he? Is he throwing some sauce about?
Aye, exactly. No, he's quite fancy in everything he does. But nonetheless, he's a good player. And Josh is he's as strong as a bull, that kid, as well. You know what I mean? He could run through brick walls. So, two different types of players, but each on their own very good players, if you know what I mean. Both got good shots, both good scares, as I say. And they deserve their chance with GB. I'm really happy for them, so it's good to see.
Well, people talked about that Ben Brown kid, the kid that was in the SNL last year. How would he do when he came down to Milton Keynes? Yeah. The answer's good. And Enis Gallagher, how would he do when he come down to Leeds? Good. I've had a couple of coaches, actually, since I started this SNL series, just this week, a couple of coaches from the National League kind of just give me a little nudge. Oh, you're going up there this weekend, you know? let us know what's what and who's who and if there's anyone we should be looking at. And I've also had another coach reach out specifically about one particular player, and I was seriously impressed with some of the standards of the Aberdeen boys, of the Dundee boys. I thought there's easily a handful of players that could have played in the national, not a problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had a, I don't know if there was some sort of cup or friendlies. I know there was friendlies, definitely, obviously, against Blackburn. I know it's not in the same national league as that, but I mean, I would like to say we were competing with Blackburn as well. The games were tight, you know what I mean? So the boys done well against that sort of level. We weren't far away from it, if you know what I mean. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that actually bodes quite well when you think Blackburn, although they did not win the league, that was the Billingham Stars. Blackburn beat Billingham. They fucking give Billingham Stars a doing in the cup.
Yeah,
like, run the score up on them. And then they had a tighter game at the playoff finals at the weekend, and it was a 4-3 comeback victory for the Hawks. So if you're competing against the Hawks, that's the top end. Sorry, say that again, buddy.
Ben Kerry, the goalie for Blackburn, he's a Fife kid as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he was telling me he stopped the 3 penalty shots for them against them or whatever in that game, so he was quite chuffed by himself. That's another Fife kid. Good for him.
So. Yeah, it's funny when you think about, like, obviously in our day, you boys all came down to Slough.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing like the next generation, like Robo's kid. He's been down in the south. Now he's in Solway. We got Chad's nephew Reese. He's down in Bristol. Reese Kelly came down, had, I know he's not a Fifer, but he's a Scot. He came down and had a great performance in the national. Now he's back up with the Clan. So there's some good talented boys.
He's a Fifer as well, Reese Kelly. He's a Fifer.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that. I don't know why I thought he was a West Coaster, but
I mean the exception of like maybe 3 or 4 teams in the SNL, there's like 5 kids scattered all over the SNL and other teams as well.
That's good.
Yeah. That's kind of the problem, though. Eh? Like, we've still got the good kids coming through and stuff like that. And then when it gets to that age, you know what it's like. Sometimes it's hard. You can't stay in Fife anymore, if you know what I mean. You've got to move.
As you can't go.
So, no, but it's good that they're still playing and all the power to them. I'm glad to see they're all doing well. So, it's all good.
Is there any sort of relationship between the Flyers, the Kestrels in the junior development, or does it kind of teeter in between? And
there is a relationship there. I'm not involved in it as such, so I don't know to the extent of how much a relationship there is, but I know there is one. But like as I say, we still have a few of the younger kids going up and playing like two ways and stuff like that with the Kestrels and the Flyers and stuff like that. So. Yeah, as I say, to the extent of the relationship, I don't know, but we do have one.
Well, no, but like, it is good because obviously we saw for years, you know, you had the Steel Dogs and the Steelers in the same town and no relationship. And it was frosty when actually, if you look at like the relationship between, say, the Basingstoke Bison, I know they're not there this year, but in years gone by, and the Basingstoke Buffalo, it was always quite a good, like, friendly, open relationship. Oh, you've got a 16-year-old fucking kid that's legit. Okay, well, I want you to put him on NIHL 2, Power Play 1, Power Play 2, penalty kills, so that then when we have him up, he's got reps. And there was a good kind of build there between like Simon Beer and Doug Shepherd and other coaches. And I think when you have that, and the ultimate goal is surely to get the kids out of the junior development and playing for the senior team, if you can have that good that good pathway from the juniors into the Kestrels, from the Kestrels up into the Flyers with a two-way, and then maybe you get to, you know what it's like, you get to ride the pine for a bit, pick some splinters out your ass for a season, but still getting your reps down at the Kestrels, that'd be huge.
Yeah, they're still doing that, they're coming back and forth on other Estate, and the Brodie Kays, and we've got James Spence as well. He does a two-way. When there's games with the Kestrels, they try and go with the Kestrels. They know they're going to get on the ice time, and then when they've got a chance with the Flyers, they're up with the Flyers and hoping to get a chance there as well. So, I mean, they're always...
I really hope to see more kids get the opportunity, and Obviously, GB's the end goal for any hockey player, or it definitely should be for you young guys. Maybe once you get a little bit older and wiser, you realize it might be whatever it is. It might be a bit far away. It might involve too much commitment or whatever. But when you're 15, 16, 17, 18, you should be thinking about playing for that GB men's team. And you should be thinking, how do I get there if I'm in the Kestrels right now? Yeah. Where do I go from here to get there, and what sort of work have I got to put in? But having these pathways, the SNL getting better, obviously, yeah. This kind of leads me to the next question. The former team of yours, Solway Sharks, they've stepped up to the National this year, and yeah. Fantastic season. I think they took points off and wins off of every team in the league, just fell short getting into the playoffs. Last crowd was 1,120 people, which beat the footy team next door for the second week running. Like, you talk about how important it is for that town to have, not only that town, but Scotland as a whole, to have a national league team?
Yeah, definitely. It's huge. And like, I think like the guys down at Dumfries, you know, Spud and all the rest of them down there, they know how to do it, right, I think. And you can see that by the end of the season, they're filling out the place. Jamie Thompson, he's got a big part to do with it too. And, I mean, they're clever. And I think they're nice people as well, so I think that goes a long way. So I wasn't surprised with them getting the crowds in, and I wasn't surprised with them doing well. Obviously, they wanted to do better, but I was happy to see them do so well too. You know, like, nothing's ever going to be a sort of what would you say, a Cinderella story in the first season, if you know what I mean. But no, I think they've done really well in comparison.
Well, I think Hull last year, they struggled near the bottom of the league. And now this year, they're near the top of the league. They're in a cup final. That year of growth, that year of getting your feet wet, getting under the table, approaching sponsors, getting sponsors, getting the locker room away, just all the shit that you need to do to get a club off the ground. Yeah. Year two, you know, everyone hears, oh, it's a good place to play. The fans are awesome. It's a nice town. It's good to go out. All the stuff that us as players start to hear come through the grapevine, that second year recruitment's a fucking damn sight easier.
Definitely. And like, Dumfries is a town as well. Like, it's quite a decent sized town, but it's small enough that, well, everybody knows what's going on, and a lot of people like, so. And I think there's your Saturday night or your Sunday night, you know what I mean, with your friends, you go to the hockey instead of just going to the pub. You know what I mean? So it's, they've got
locked
in there. So it's pretty good to see.
Did you see they've just announced that there's going to be a 3-on-3 tournament in Ozone, and Scotland they've put their team out today?
I saw that just before I actually came on playing with you. I've not really heard too much about it, though. Like, I don't really know what's going on there.
You know Myers, you know Danny Myers, don't you?
Yeah.
So it's Danny's facility down in Bracknell. It's a brilliant facility, and I think if this can be done right and done well, it gives me 2020 cricket vibes. And you know, you go in, you smash a few games out, get the boys in the bar, have some beers, do whatever. I think it could have that. What did it used to be? Remember on Sky Sports when they used to play the football in the ice rinks, and it would be like the seven asides and that, like the legends.
Yeah.
It kind of gives me that sort of vibe. It could be a lot of fun, but the Scottish team is Alex Forbes, Rhys Kelly, Robert Lakovic, Charlie Coombs, Michael Pelich, Callie Robertson, Torrin Anderson, Connor McNulty, Darren Donaldson, Cameron Wilkie, Ryan Campbell, Harry Campbell. That's interesting. I like seeing new things get tried out. Obviously, the Olympic under 16s, that was a 3-on-3. So maybe there's something in this 3-on-3.
No, it could well be. Anything to do with like hockey and try to promote, like, you're kind of hoping it takes off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because any promotion is good promotion, I would think, for the game of hockey, especially in this country.
Mate, I played in that. I played in one of our charity tournaments down at charity rec tournaments down there.
Yeah.
Mate, it's fucking hard, by the way. Like, because there's only two other guys to pass the puck to, so you have the puck a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just offense, defense, offense, defense, offense. Yeah, mate, it's just an undercover bag skate. Yeah, you get off at about 50 seconds a minute, and you're like, sucking wins, because you know what it's like when you're playing, like if it's 5-on-5 and you're in a big, it's like a big five ring. If you're a left winger and I'm just stood marking you as a right D-man, I might not move for 25 seconds. In that, you just don't stop moving the entire time. It's so
especially
hard.
At this day and age of me, you're not moving very far because I'm not doing much skating either these days.
Obviously, you are in your 40s. How's the body holding up? Is this like the kind of the right level, the right schedule? And would you do me a training? Are you training once a week?
I mean, the only thing I got a little bit miffed about was, like, I came back to play because I was told it was like one game a weekend, and we had a lot of double headers. And come Monday, Tuesday at work and that, like, the body just doesn't want to move again, you know? It's just, like, I wouldn't go on the ice during the week if I had two games at the weekend. It's one of those things. Yeah, it's getting harder. And I'm not the fittest as I've ever been anyway, so, yeah. But I'm still enjoying it.
But you just happen to have two GB under 18 D-men out there just to love the mail.
Sure, I'm sure one of them's on the line with me so they could do all the skating, you know what I mean?
Hey, mate, we've seen it over the years at different levels throughout the game. Like, you put the veteran with some of the young guys and there you go. Let's get a couple of questions about this weekend because that's why we're here.
Okay.
You take on the league champion Aberdeen Lynx. I know from speaking to those boys, they currently are 3-1 up in the series. Between yourselves, what's the key to victory over that Lynx team? I've seen them this year; they're very strong. How do you go about beating them?
This weekend, I think it's about controlling the puck, being on the puck, having possession of the puck, keeping it in their end. Aberdeen's a good team; they're a good threat. As you say, there are a lot of big boys in that team as well, so they can. They're a heavy team. But no, like, we've got our game plan for the weekend kind of sussed out. Obviously, we're missing a few key players as well, but you can't talk about that. It's just one of those things. But no, we're looking forward to it. Aberdeen's a good team. We're going to have to be playing our best to have a chance. But at the end of the day, we're there, so we've got a chance, you know what I mean? So. Yeah.
We'll mate, you got the ticket to the dance, man. Like, you're there, you're running. I say it in these sort of scenarios all the time. You run into a hot goalie, a shit penalty call, an offside goal that shouldn't have been. Like, all these things that can happen in one-off games, one-off scenarios, a missed call, a missed high stick, kicked in goal, or whatever it is. Something that, you know, could completely change the entirety of the game. And these things do happen at playoffs.
Well, right now, the boys are still riding high from last weekend, coming back from the 7 goals or whatever as well. So it's, you know, I mean, they've got the confidence that anything can be done. So that's a good thing to go into the game with. As long as the boys are confident, it's a good thing. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. We're excited for it. So,
And if you are, not to look past the semi-final, but... And no disrespect to Aberdeen by looking past them, but The other lineup sees Paisley take on Edinburgh. How have you boys fared against both of those outfits this season?
Paisley's been a thorn in our side the whole season as well. There's games we play well and then we can take it to them, and then there's other games like you would think that we're just terrible and Paisley are looking really, really good. Edinburgh's the same as Aberdeen. You know, they've got a lot of, like, older players that, like, can control the game really good. They're always a threat going forward too. So I would fancy Edinburgh to win against Paisley, but as you say, Paisley's got a ticket to the semi-finals there as well, so anything can happen on that one too. So it's good. It should be entertaining. I don't think the score lines will be too high. I think it's going to be kept close. I think boys are going to be up for it. On both the semi-finals, so we'll see what happens. I think,
mate, from kind of, I'm working my way through the four semi-finalists this week, and everybody seems to be in a good place. All the teams seem to be good. Everybody seems to be on. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's like, for me, I'm a neutral. So when I hear that coming into the weekend, I'm like, fucking yes. Everybody seems nice and loose. Everybody seems happy. Everybody, all the teams, all the lads, everyone seems confident. And everybody also seems respectful of the opponents, and they know what they're up against. No one's taking a piss like we're just going to walk in here and dick the situation, because they know it's not going to be the case. Everybody seems to be like,
I think,
right.
If you look at the four teams that have been there for the weekend, over the season, everybody's had somebody's number over, you know what I mean? Everybody's had their night against each other, you know what I mean? So anything can happen again, really. It's all neutralised apart from Edinburgh, of course. But yeah, anything can happen.
I'm buzzing for it. I think it's going to be hopefully well attended. Hopefully, loads of fans turn up and make it a really good atmosphere for you boys out there on the ice. Hawley, I know the boys are out on the ice there. I'm going to let you go, ladies and gents. We have Chad Smith from Edinburgh Capitals joining us for part five of the SNL series. After that, you will see me in Edinburgh, and you might recognize a couple of faces that I put out for interviews throughout the day. One definitely being Chad Reiki. I can announce it right now. Mr. Chad Reiki is going to be live on 4000 Accounting, so don't sue me. I'm not liable for what comes out of Chad's mouth. I look forward to it though, and for those that like a bit of story time with the boys, then it's going to be fun. The entire weekend is going to be great. I'm going to get as much content out for the league as I can, and let's just try and grow this SNL thing. Hawley, you keep doing your thing. Best of luck,
thank
my friend.
You very much, Paul.
And I will see you on Saturday, ladies and gents. Make sure you hit subscribe if you're not already. Like, comment, do all the good stuff. Let us know who you think is going to be the SNL playoff champions 23-24. Peace.
Bye-bye, see you later.
Cheers, buddy. See ya.
On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red ride.